It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Ellen.
Coming up on episode number 101 of Sports Day Plus. At 6:15, it is a replay of my three-segment conversation with comedian Ari Shaffir ahead of his Moon Tower comedy show at the Paramount tomorrow night. And in mere seconds, I preview the Longhorns' spring game tomorrow afternoon. Is there even gonna be a spring game? Regardless, we're gonna talk some Texas football. I am your host, Trey Elling. You can give me a follow on Twitter, at Courtesy Wave, and do the same for ESPN Austin at 1027 ESPN. We are officially at the end of the spring practice window for Steve Sarkisian and his Texas Longhorn football team, which means it's orange-white game time. Maybe. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock at DKR. All sorts of pregame festivities planned by the University and Athletics Department. Yes, Bevo Boulevard. Yes, Longhorn City Limits with Reckless Kelly on tap to perform. But unfortunately, the current weather forecast for tomorrow has cast some serious doubt as to whether or not that game is going to actually happen. According to my weather guessing website, which may be different from your weather guessing website, but they're all kind of guessing based on the same general information, there is a strong chance of rain tomorrow that increases throughout the afternoon. At 12 o'clock, again, according to my weather guessing website slash app, Wonderground, that chance of thunderstorms is around 20%. 1 o'clock jumps to 50%. By 7 o'clock tomorrow night, it's apparently going to be 100% chance of rain here in the greater Austin area. But of course, the spring game is at 1, so what does that mean? It is going to be a bit of wait-and-see mode, I would imagine, from Texas officials tomorrow. They are going to have to be smart about calling it early enough to give people the heads up that heading down to the area around DKR is going to be a waste of their time. Unfortunately, the way that it feels right now is that's going to have to be canceled, because in this instance, you do have to make way, I guess, for the supposed experts. And if the experts are saying there's going to be thunderstorms, 50% chance starting at kickoff time, and thunder implies that there will be lightning as well, then you have to make the conservative decision and just go ahead and scrap things altogether. Now, here's my hope, because if you've listened to me on the airways for any extended period of time, you know I don't know if there's an official war going on. Let's call it a proxy war between myself and pretty much all meteorologists. There are a few exceptions, but the profession of meteorology and I are in a proxy war. Really, it's me. It's a one-sided war. Really, it's me taking all the shots here. But calling weather people meteorologists implies that there is much more of a science to what they're doing than what they're actually doing. The reality, if we want to label it correctly and not make it more scientific than it actually is that weather people are professional weather guessers. That's what they are. And their success rate, it can be around the Mendoza line, I think. And they still get to keep their jobs. That's right. They can be accurate 20% of the time. And that's considered good for them. In baseball, you get a hit 3 out of every 10 times at the plate, which isn't exactly a true statement, because walks and other things can factor into that as well. But in baseball, a 300 average is seen as good. That's 3 hits out of every 10 official at-bats. In the weather world, it is probably closer to that Mendoza line. It's probably closer to 200, 20%. It may even be below that, too. And that's why I hope, like what you're hoping right now, and that is these storms push back and we don't get the heavy stuff until late afternoon, early evening. Let's go ahead and call it straight up nightfall, before the rain really comes tomorrow. That allows the spring game to get played. Look, it wouldn't be the first spring game to get canceled because of rain. It just doesn't happen here all that often, I don't think. Maybe it happens more often than I realize, and I just don't have a fond memory for these glorified practices. but it is helping to at least minimally satisfy our craving for real football. I know the UFL is playing right now. That doesn't really count. It's spring football. Come on, give me a break. You watch spring football, good for you. But most of us are okay with that break. But we also find ourselves salivating for football because it is, without question, the best sport on the planet. And so to get our team to go through a glorified practice and some of the storylines that we've been talking about all spring and all offseason, we get some sense of where those things are. The strength of the team, the weaknesses of the team, the weaknesses that might quickly become strengths. If talented guys who are brought in to replace outgoing players who are about to be playing professionally can live up to snuff. So what will I be looking for? If the orange-white game does happen tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff, DKR, I will not be in the stands. I will be watching it from the comfort of my home. I don't need to attend glorified practices in person, but I will be watching to see just how Quinn Ewers and, to a lesser degree, Arch Manning look with those new receivers. There are a couple of receivers from last year's roster, young guys, Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore, but there's a bunch of new faces in there as well. Now, you won't see Silas Bolden, the transfer from Oregon State. He gets here at the end of the semester. But Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond, those guys have been putting in the work. And I want to see who has really established that rapport with their quarterbacks. Steve Sarkisian has been raving about true freshman Ryan Wingo out of the greater St. Louis area. Wingo is a guy that it was expected for it to take him at least a little bit of time to work his way into the rotation. But based on how things have gone this spring, that may not be the case. They may have no choice but to put the true freshman on the field a little bit more, if he is that much of a freakish threat. I do want to see a little bit of the lines of scrimmage, but I don't want to see those guys fighting it out too hard. I'm going to be honest. I know you want everybody to play up to 100%, to their maximum potential, every snap. Again, this is a glorified practice, and the harder these guys are hitting one another, the greater the likelihood for injury. I don't want to see injuries on the offense, on the defense, special teams. I don't care where it is. That is goal number one of any 4 to 5 week stretch of spring practices, that you emerge from that month or so without any significant injuries. And Texas has avoided that bug up to this point, knock on wood. But I do want to see what that O-line rotation looks like. We've got some talented pass rushers on campus now. That defensive end position seems like it's about to take a major step forward. That's a great challenge for not just future first-round draft pick Kelvin Banks, will likely be a top 10 pick about a year from now, but what's happening on the right side? Is it Cam Williams? Some say things have started to click for him, if not him. Somebody else who slides out there and looks like they are up to the challenge of replacing Christian Jones at right tackle. How does that revamped secondary look? There are some familiar faces there. Actually, there's a lot of familiar faces. Some guys who are returning starters, some guys who played a lot of minutes last year, and then you have the Makuba transfer from Clemson. How much does that help solidify the safety position? Maybe that nickel position, allowing Jadae Barron to do some different things. It seems like Texas is headed for a sort of thunder and lightning partnership in that running back room with C.J. Baxter and Jaden Blue. I fully expect Jaden Blue to become the guy at some point next year. And that's not to say he's the only guy who's going to be getting carries, but I think he ends up getting more carries than C.J. Baxter does. Excuse me. Jaden Blue, a great example of a guy who not just bides his time, but continues putting in the work to eventually be ready when that opportunity comes. It came last year, unfortunately, with Jonathan Brooks' injury, and Jaden Blue made the most of it, and I look forward to seeing him continuing to evolve and develop as a player. All right, that's going to be it for the sports talk today. Well, the traditional sports talk. That's because coming up on the other side, I am replaying you my 3-segment conversation with the hilarious Ari Shaffir. He is in town headlining at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival tomorrow night at the Paramount. We're going to have a sports-ish conversation with Ari on the other side.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
We are currently in the midst of the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. It started last week, continues all this week through Sunday, April 21st. It is a crazy gathering of some of the funniest people on the planet. That includes, just this week, because we're not even going to go over who was here last week, Amy Sedaris, Josh Johnson, Ken Flores, Mark Maron, Miss Pat, Brad Williams, Roy Wood Jr., Andrew Schultz, Todd Barry, Brad Williams, Ronnie Chang, and my next guest, Ari Shaffir. By the way, to check out more info and to maybe get tickets to any of the other people that I just mentioned, go to austintheater.org. There is a special link to the Moon Tower Comedy Festival through the Paramount Austin's website. Again, austintheater.org. As for Ari, you know him from so much over the years. Plenty of people cite The Amazing Racist as the first funny thing they saw Ari as a part of. He is a regular on the Joe Rogan podcast. He is constantly touring the country and has been coming to Austin for a long time now. And yes, he is headlining at the Paramount Theater for Moon Tower Comedy Festival this Saturday, April 20th. It's a 9:30 show at the Paramount. They are hosting shows all day long. This is the last show of the day on April 20th. 9:30 show. You can go to austintheater.org to snag tickets. And this is his Wrong Side of History tour. And he's actually taping the special for this tour in Washington, D.C. on April 26th and 27th. On top of that, Ari has a brand new podcast out that is a lot of fun that we're going to be talking about called You Be Trippin'. It launched on March 18th and is Ari getting together with his friends to talk about some of their favorite places to have visited, which gets to the spirit of who and what Ari is as a person, as somebody who loves to travel. And now he joins me to talk about some of those things and more. Ari, thank you so much for the time. How you doing today?
Yeah, nice seeing you always.
You are taking part in another Moon Tower Comedy Festival this year. You're in Austin a lot these days. Just how much do you enjoy this city, considering that you're getting back here at least several times a year now?
Bro, I love, people just think I live there. People, I get texts all the time. Whitney Cummings, seven times. She's like, I'm in Austin. You're around? And I'm like, I don't live there, Whitney. Oh, I'm there so much. And I'm very publicly there too.
Yeah, no, there. That's a good point. But your travels are well documented at this point from some podcasts that you've done in the past. Skeptic Tank, of course, and then also your current podcast, which we're certainly going to talk about here in a little bit. You Be Trippin'. Big fan nice. Of this one. I decided, Ari, even though I don't normally keep these conversations sports-centric, I think you and I can have a very unique sports conversation based on your playing days and also some of the crazy stuff you've seen over time and maybe a little bit of your Dallas Cowboys fandom too, if you're up for that.
I'm up for it, but it's like I'm in a good mood and it's just going to ruin my good mood if we talk about the Cowboys.
Well, you understand though, you're resigned to knowing that Jerry Jones is about to blow this whole thing up, that he's giving
Mike sucks. McCarthy sucks. What's he doing? When he wasn't fired the day after the game, people are like, they're going to get rid of him soon. I'm like, he's not, he'll never admit fault. He'll say it's the right call. Ugh.
Well, plus you have to deal with McCarthy looking up at that giant screen for one more season. He's got such a dumb look on his face when he looks up at the screen because he can't close his mouth either.
Yeah, he's gap-mouthed for sure. He's been a good coach over history. It's just they're all committed to this quarterback that's not the guy that puts up good regular season stats, put up great fourth quarter stats during blowouts. It was like A-Rod for the Yankees. Like, oh, he had a lot of home runs this year. I'm like, they were all with 7-1 games. You know, he threw up one in the eighth where it didn't matter. Dak just puts up blowout fourth quarter stats.
Yeah, he's like a modern version of what Matt Ryan used to do with the Falcons several years ago.
Yeah. I mean, even that game against Green Bay, it was like his overall stats were pretty good.
Yeah.
They weren't that bad. But it was like when it didn't matter, sure.
When they had to throw the football. They had no choice but to throw the football, so he gets better stats
like
as a result.
202 touchdowns in the fourth. But like that didn't matter. It was 38-1.
All right, that's it for the Cowboys talk. We're gonna talk about other stuff now because
too much positivity in the world.
I think it's important that every human being has some sort of personal sports highlight or hopefully a couple that they can lean on throughout their adulthood. Most of us are not going to play in college. We're not going to play professionally, but we do have youth sports or high school sports to hold on to, if nothing else. For me, yeah. I had an unassisted triple play in T-ball. I kicked a goal from midfield around the same age. I topped out really early sports wise, unfortunately. And then I hit the first three pointer.
You playing the Special Olympics?
It kind of seemed like it with all the other kids around. I was the one kid who kind of knew what was going on. And then in junior high, I hit the first three-pointer in my junior high school's history. I was this fat seventh grader who heaved one up right after the three-point line had gotten painted onto our court. I still get credit for it. So my question for you, though, because you did play high school basketball. I think you were sixth man of the year in the league that you were a part of, and you may have won a championship too.
Yeah, in the private league. We had two Jewish schools, a deaf school, a Sidwell Friends. It was not the cream of the crop, but yeah.
Do you have a favorite individual sports highlight or two from your time playing basketball or another sport?
Well, I did play college golf. It was, everybody was a walk-on. It was Division III. We needed six players.
At
it was
Maryland? Pretty much anyone. Because you went to the University of Maryland. Okay.
Yeah. I went to Yeshiva University. It was a religious college in New York. And pretty much anyone who had a bag, you're in. And I was the worst one on the team. I believe I was the worst athlete in college sports that year. I shot in competition, a 143. I shanked one off the tee once, did not reach the lake that was right up against the tee. And then I was like, my coach was like, you got to hit it again then. Go from there, from 4 feet up. Then threw three more in the lake. And he just was laughing at me. I'm like, coach, this doesn't give me confidence. It's so bad.
What about a sports highlight, though? Is there something that you did well that you can lean on?
Okay. Let me think about that. Let me think. In basketball, I played volleyball. Yeah, I got one. I was a volleyball player. I figured out how to knuckleball a serve. It was pretty dominant for a while. And then I was a practice player with the girls' team. And I remember one time reaching back to like grab who I thought was another practice player, but it was this lady, Dahlia, and I just grabbed her boobs, and it was pretty hot. Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She goes, no, you didn't do it on purpose. But then later I thought about it, and it was pretty rad.
It's a little bit on purpose. So you were a practice player at Maryland when you were going to school there for the women's team. And yeah. You were essentially serving as a big guy for these Maryland women's practices. I played against the UT women when I was at the University of Texas. And the post players in women's basketball are not afraid to throw some hip around.
I believe also they have an unfair, the NCAA has investigated NCAA. They sharpen their elbow pads and their knee pads. There's metal in there. And I think they cut it like loose and sharpen them to cut you with.
No, like WWE style?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. So you'll be less likely to bang hard. They're tough is the point overall. Yeah. They bang hard.
You said
these aren't Caitlin Cook like losers. These are strong women who can body you down.
Caitlin Clark. Look, she moves around like a dude. It is impressive to watch her. I have friends who theorize that she is actually a dude playing a women's sport. I don't necessarily go that far. I'd say there's like a 0.5% chance of that being the case, but the anarchist in me would love if that became the reality because of the explosive conversation that it would create around the country and world.
God, it really would. And be like, well, she set the record. Like, only because the team was good, though. Only because they played more games. If not for the NCAA appearances, she would not have beaten that all-time record.
You said you played against a deaf team in high school. What the hell was that like?
No one's ever asked that. So they'd blow the whistle, and then the team would keep playing because, you know, and so that everyone would have to stop. They told us ahead of time, hey, if there's a whistle, everyone stomp, and they'll feel the vibrations. They're kind of like, oh, something's up.
Oh, the other team would have to stomp. Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
You have to do it for them. They're like, or you can just have them run over you, foul you hard, try to steal the ball after a play's over. It gets annoying. May as well stomp.
So you and I talked that several years ago, and we're talking on Friday, April 12th, which is the Friday of the Masters. I feel like you told me a story about filming a commercial with Tiger Woods back in the day, back in Tiger Woods' his old days, I guess, before his redemption, and now everybody loves him. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, me and Steve Renazzisi from the league, we had to like get him talking
I talked to Steve like a couple months ago when he was performing at the Mothership. Love catching up with him.
Oh, dude, Steve rules. He's the best. I just saw him last week. Our job is, and they told us, it was after his dad died, Tiger. And they were like, don't make fun of his dad. We're like, we weren't gonna. And they were like, be clean around him. Don't curse around him. He's like a super, like, okay. They flew us to Orlando because he's such a star. He's like, I'm not flying for commercials. You guys come to me. And they rented a villa on a golf course. Anyway, he comes in. We're all waiting for him. And he's like, you motherfucker ready to do this shit? And we're like, what? And this is before all the scandal. And we're like, oh, what? This guy's normal. And we're like, oh, yeah, he grew up on Muni courses. Of course. It was great. It was a lot of fun. He was supposed to play with his own man on Tiger Woods, EA, I think EA 07. And he's like, no, I'm not playing with my own man. That's cheese-ish. No way. And so he makes a new man. Drives the ball off a tee, hits this creek. He knew every course. It was pretty wild. I hit a shot that was so good. I'm like, oh, that's going to be nice. He goes, nah, it's going to roll in the air. He goes, it's going to hit the front of the green, roll off the back into the sand. And you're like, no way. That's a good shot. He bounces, rolls, starts catching speed, rolls into the sand. We're like, how'd you know that? And he goes, I've played this course 80 times.
His freakish obsession with golf carried over to video game golf, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he built these things to be realistic. And so when he shoots with his, like, a new man, he rolls it up, bounces three times, goes into a creek. He goes, this creek's not even in play. It's 200 yards out. We're like, yeah, Tiger, welcome to us. That's how new men play. 200 yards is in play.
Yeah, welcome to the world of the common man, Tiger. He is Ari Shaffir, taking part in this year's Moon Tower Comedy Festival, performing at the Paramount this Saturday, April 20th at 9:30. Go to austintheater.org to snag tickets. Coming up, segment 2 of 3 with Ari Shaffir on the other side.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Back for segment 2 of 3 with comedian Ari Shaffir. He is a part of this year's Moon Tower Comedy Festival, performing at the Paramount on Saturday, April 20th at 9:30 p.m. Go to austintheater.org to snag the tickets that remain for that show. It's his Wrong Side of History tour, for which he is taping the special for this tour in Washington, D.C. at the end of the month. So this is your last chance to see him perform this material live. Saw it at the Mothership a couple months ago. Well worth the price of admission. It's also got a really good new podcast out called You Be Trippin', launched in March. And he just gets together with his friends to talk about some of their favorite places to travel. And it gets to the spirit of who and what Ari is as a person. That is somebody who loves going random places and learning about new cultures. And Ari, I love what you're doing with the new podcast. And I'm going to keep this sports oriented by asking you about something that I feel like I heard you talk about on Skeptic Tank years ago. I don't remember the Asian country, but you talked about a sport that will probably never be legal here in the U.S. in our lifetimes. There will be some backroom versions of this happening, but you actually went to a cockfight. Somewhere over in Asia. How was that?
It was so cool. It was East Timor. It's kind of a new country. I think it was 2001 or 2 it was founded. I think 2. And the general of the army has his own court. It's so legal there. And I was like so worried. I didn't realize this. And I was like, I had to find it. It was like, they were like, it's behind like the market. And I'm like, I looked all over, couldn't find it. And then I was like, had my moped, I'm driving away. And then I'm like, I saw an old man like half a mile out just holding a rooster. And I'm like, he's got to be going. And I just watched him walk past me. I pulled over, watched him walk past me. And I whipped my moped around and I drove up like, you know, a quarter mile ahead of him. And I just looked at him. I let him catch up slowly. And then he turned into an alley. I'm like, it's got to be in there. And there was like dozens of roosters. Everybody, it was so cool. And I wanted to take a picture, but I'm like, no, they took me in because I'm a giant white guy, you know, 6'3". So it's like, they're like, you've never seen this tall before. And then I was like, hey, I can't take pictures of this, can I? And they're like, I mean, if you want, why not? And I'm like, well, because the law, they're like, the general is right over there. It's totally fine. What do you mean? Why would it be illegal? I'm like, I live in a different world, man. I don't know. It was so cool. It wasn't as brutal as you think. It's not like dogfighting. You barely even see it.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to ask if it like gets a little bit gruesome at times, but it doesn't do that necessarily.
It gets a little bloody, but like, so they have the roosters will naturally like fight at each other. And so they take a razor blade and tie it to one of their like claws. And so when they go at each other like this, one razor blade is hidden. So the roosters don't even understand what's happening. They're like, oh, I guess I lost that fight. But they're like, whoa, I'm getting lightheaded. And they're just cut up. But you can barely see it. There is some blood sometimes, but barely see it. And then one rooster will just like, just like pop over. And they're like, what happened? And he's like, he's done. And then the owner of the winner gets to eat the loser.
See, okay. I remember you saying that detail on that Skeptic Tank podcast, which is a pretty cool trophy for the victor, right?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's like, listen, we're going to eat food. Who cares how it's killed?
There's only one other sport that I've heard that does something similar. Have you ever heard of Bizkashi before? It's a sport that's popular in the Middle East. It's essentially polo, but with a goat carcass. And it's rival tribes will come together. I think it was showcased in one of the Rambos, Rambo 1 or Rambo 2. But rival tribes will come together and they'll play this game of goat polo where you're trying to get the goat carcass in a circle on one end of the other, and the winning team gets to take the carcass home and have a feast in their village. Wow. And the losing team, I guess, goes home hungry.
Damn. I mean, there's something better to that. It's, you're not just wasting it, you know? I mean, it's like BJ Penn when you lick the blood off his gloves. It's the closest we got in our country.
Turn it into blood sausage maybe is the step beyond that. I don't know.
It was so cool, though. It was just the cool, and everyone's gambling. Everyone's yelling out, two, white, I got white, I got red, I got red, I got white. And then it's like, I mean, they use U.S. currency there. They do it in Puerto Rico, too. My friend told me that's where the episode was. He went to one in Puerto Rico. Mm. Like, it's just like, they use America, so it's like $1. And they're like, no way, 50 cents. And you're like, okay, fine. And I think I lost like $20 over like 3 hours, but it was so worth it. I won like one bet.
Which is like $1,000 over there. I thought I was going to have a chance to see it in Cabo San Lucas of all places, because they advertised some place that was for cockfighting, but I looked it up on Mexican internet and nothing popped up, unfortunately. So I guess I needed to ask around a little bit more.
That's the problem with using, like, you know, you're like cultural differences to go to other countries. We rely on Google Maps and way more than other countries do. And so they're like, well, where is this? It's not on here. Like, so in America, that means it doesn't exist. And to them, it's just like, ask somebody, it's over there.
The cockfight doesn't have at least 4 stars on the 5-star rating system. It must not be a good enough cockfight.
Dude, it was so cool. I forgot about it now. You reminded me. It was just the coolest. And they had these bookmakers. They're sitting down in these little like kids' chairs. And they're like looking at all the roosters, making like the odds and writing everything down. They was like, remember those old CD cases where you'd like a booklet of CDs? They had that for razors. And people would like look through them. And like they go and they get one. I remember one guy licking a back of a razor and was like, this is it, putting on. And I was like, these guys are so weird.
So they're just sizing up these roosters. They're sizing up these cocks to see which one should have the advantage in a given fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the big ones almost always win. So it was just like, whatever, I'll bet on whoever you guys want me to. I just want to root for somebody. 50 cents, that's fine. You're just like, it's an excuse to pass out money to the community too.
Yeah.
For like a fifth world nation, you know?
Oh, that's a good call. You're actually performing some charity in the process.
Yeah, you can't give out. It affects the economy wrong if you just like give money to beggars, but if you just like throw it into like businesses, then it's great.
So you are traveling internationally again this summer, if I'm not mistaken, going over to Australia specifically so you can participate in something called State of Origin. I've never heard of this before, but you keep calling it a sport. What the hell is State of Origin?
State of Origin is a series. It's not a sport. It's rugby. And I don't know all the rules of rugby, but I was in Guatemala last year, December, and this Australian guy at my hostel was telling me about rugby and how he was just telling me about the rules and stuff. And I was like, okay, interesting. And then like, he was saying like, this is the sport. So the Australians are the best ones. New Zealand, arguably. The West Indies are big. It's just not big in America, right? London, I mean, England has big teams. But all these great players play, like, you know how we'll rent out Messi here. You know, he's not American. We'll rent him out and have him play here in soccer. So they do that with Australian rugby players. They rent them out. They're playing all over the world. They're the best ones. They're playing for the England teams and the Jamaican teams and whatever. They all come home to play a three-game series, North versus South. I think it's New South Wales versus Queensland, but it might be a different one too. And it's a three-game series. So these guys are like teammates in England or in, you know, wherever. And now they're enemies because you're North, I'm South. And they're punching each other in the face. It's wild. And so the way he sold it to me, I'm like, I'm going to build my tour around that in Australia. And he goes, everybody comes out. I want to go to the one in Brisbane, but Brisbane's game three. And if it's 2-0, it won't really mean anything. So I'm going to the one in Sydney.
So have you taken part in a state of origin then? Or is this based solely on the guy that you met in Guatemala that you're doing this?
Yeah, he just told me about it. So I'm going to go. I'm going to watch. So it's Sydney is one game. Brisbane is the other home game. And then they have a neutral site. Last year was Perth and this year's Melbourne. But yeah, I'm going to the one in Sydney. But I guess I have to root for the Brisbane ones because those are the bogans. Those are the cool ones. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
As part of your Weeby Trippin' podcast, you talked to Normand about Australia. You talked to Andrew Santino about, was it Sicily or Sardinia?
Sicily, yeah. Weeby Trippin'. Yeah, Sicily.
I'm sorry, Weeby Trippin'. I said Weeby Trippin'. Weeby Trippin' is what it is. You've traveled so many different places. Is there some place that you haven't been yet that you really want to go?
Morocco's really calling me.
I've heard great things about Morocco.
Yeah. I almost went after I was in Paris for some writing class. And then I was like, I just kept seeing all these direct flights to Morocco. And I'm like, I want to go, but I had to get home. And I'm like, I wish I didn't have to get home. We should just hop on a plane for $90 and just be in Morocco the next day.
When was the Paris writing class?
A year ago in the summer.
Okay, so this is recent. What did you learn in that class?
It was like a memoir writing class. This writer, Rolf Potts, he's become friends with him. He's been trying to get me to go for a long time. So it worked out with schedule pretty well. I loved it.
He was on Skeptic Tank previously, wasn't he?
A bunch of times. Yeah, he rules. He'll be on the new one too. I think actually he's coming to New York next week, so he'll be on then. But like, yeah, he rules. And he's just like, I'm a legitimate writer. I can help you if you want to write some sort of like, you know, book of stories or something about your travels. Like, I can help you. So, but he was like, come take this class. It was so fun. It was so fun. Just like hanging out there, soaking it all in, smoking and cigarettes and cafes. I don't even smoke. I'm just figuring out how to roll. But you can smoke around babies, which is extra hot. You know, just like right next to a baby. You're just like, what's up? Nice baby. They're like, thank you. It is a nice baby.
Smoking on babies and smoking on airplanes, things that are no longer allowed in 2024 that weirdly I romanticize. Now, I used to smoke cigarettes. I don't anymore. But for some reason, if I were given the opportunity on an airplane, I would smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, that would be cool. I was on a plane with Joey Diaz once and he lit up a vape. I was like, what are you doing? He just like, he goes like this. He goes like a doctor. I'm like, damn, in his seat. I'm like, what are you doing? He doesn't care. Yeah, there's certain places where it's like romantic to smoke cigarettes. So I was like, when I went to Paris, I'm going to get into it. I bought a pouch when I landed and I'm like, let's start smoking. And I would just smoke and write at coffee cafes. It was so cool. But I really want to go to Morocco. I want to go back to Southeast Asia too. I want to like go to Laos and Philippines. I don't know. There's a bunch of places. But what about you? Where do you want to go? Where's calling you?
That's a great question. And rather than give you my long-winded answer right now and run through a commercial break, we are going to pause right now. I will answer that on the other side. He is Ari Shaffir, hilarious comedian, taking part in this year's Moon Tower Comedy Festival. He's going to be performing at the Paramount this Saturday, April 20th at 9:30. Go to austintheater.org to snag tickets. To Ari performing his Wrong Side of History tour before he tapes the special for this tour in Washington, D.C. at the end of the month. Coming up, one more segment with Ari Shaffir on the other side.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Final segment with comedian Ari Shaffir, taking part in this year's Moon Tower Comedy Festival, performing at the Paramount Theater on Saturday, April 20th at 9:30. Go to austintheater.org to get tickets, as Ari is coming to the end of performing his Wrong Side of History tour. He's actually taping the special for this tour in Washington, D.C. at the end of the month. Also, check out his podcast, UB Trippin', where he gets together with friends to talk about some of their favorite places to go. I just asked Ari where he wants to go as somebody who is as world-traveled as he is. And, or you just asked me where I want to try and get to. Unfortunately, I have not been enough places in my life. I don't have a ton of regrets. One of them is probably not traveling more when I could. I've got a 9 and 7 year old now, which obviously makes things a little bit more difficult. I've been to Italy and a couple different spots in Mexico. We're going to Costa Rica in May, which I'm pretty excited about. We're going to be staying on the coast there. I have no experience, though, so I'm essentially relying on the people that I'm going with who have been there before. But as far as places to go, Spain, Portugal, the Croatian coast, I would love to go back to Italy. And I've heard so many good things from people who have gone over to various Asian countries, whether you're talking Japan, China, the Philippines, Vietnam, that given the opportunity, I would definitely do something like that as well. So I guess that's the long way of saying that there's a lot of places that I want to go.
You can plan it a year out. You can do it. I know you're professional. I know whatever, but like you can do it. You can pre-record a couple and like really tell everybody now, like a year from tomorrow, I'm going. So let's start planning this and give me like 3 weeks off.
I like you that. Know? That sounds like a motivation that you give a lot of people who because
it's like I can't do it. I don't have time. I don't have money. You have money. You're successful. You're needed. It's not like you're leaving. You're just like, work with me on this a little bit. I'll report from a soccer game in Vietnam. You know, it'll be cool. You can tax write off it. You know,
or from a cockfight in Myanmar.
Yeah, exactly. Cover it. Exactly. Something. Exactly. Dude, I'll give you some tips. Oh, here's one tip for Costa Rica. Pull over at any fresh fruit stand and just try some fruit you've never had.
Okay.
Or even like a pineapple. You've never had it that sweet before.
So one of the questions that you ask your travelers on UB Trippin' is something that you want somebody else to know before they go there. So that's my one thing to know.
Yeah. I mean, the nature is great there, but like anytime you pass it, you see, if you're in the passenger seat, if you're driving and you see just like, hey, pull over. It's really cheap and it's so good. And you'll try something like, what is that? And you don't know if it's a citrus or like a big seed or a meaty fruit. You have no idea. And they'll just like, you just kind of ask and then any one of them pull over. Stop for the coco frio, like cold coconuts. They'll chop it right there for you. You're going to do some stuff. Whoever's planning it's going to like plan it out. But that's one you could be like, hey, fruit stand, pull over. You know, you don't have to plan for it. They're everywhere.
It's in the memory bank now. Whenever I see it, anytime that I see it, I'm going to insist that we stop so we can get some fresh fruit in Costa Rica. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Stretch your legs.
I thought about you yesterday because we had a death happen in the world that really tested the limits of people's willingness to virtue mourn. That being O.J. Simpson dying. Brad Williams had the best tweet in response to O.J.'s death. I'm not even going to reread it. Interviewed him yesterday, so people will have to stay tuned for that episode coming up here in a couple of days. But I thought about you specifically because there is a weird movement happening in comedy right now that insists that cancel culture is not really a thing in stand-up. But there's people that I think about that suggest otherwise, that even if you don't necessarily get canceled permanently, that you get knocked down really hard and it takes a serious effort to get back up. And of course, I'm talking about what happened following Kobe Bryant's death and the tweet that you put out in the world of that you had to eat as a result of that. What was that like? And is it something all these years later that you regret having done because of how much more difficult it made things for you?
No, I don't regret it. I think it ruled. If the viewers don't know, I killed Kobe Bryant a few years ago. And the people reacted angrily because of his death that was caused by me. No, I thought it was awesome, dude. I actually, they gave me a lie detector test on Legion of Skanks to see if I regret it. And I'm like, no, I don't regret it. It ruled. It made everyone so mad. It was so awesome. And then they were like, oh yeah, he's not lying. Yeah, you got to be yourself. I live great. I pay my rent off comedy. I eat any meal I want. I buy beers at Yankee Stadium now without having to worry about the cost. Like, and with that comes like some pros and cons. Like if you run a Chinese food restaurant and some guy was like, I want 7 soy sauce packets. You only give him 2. It's like, all right, we lost a little on this guy. But overall, you're running a great restaurant. So sure, the backlash, the death threats, the calling in comedy clubs and threatening the lives of females. Sure, that's just standard Laker fan stuff. You know, they're a trash organization. They're a trash organization and they feel like you should threaten women. What a great way to prove that a guy wasn't a rapist is to threaten the lives of women. Oh, that's so quality. Dude, yeah, I exposed them. I love it. If I can expose someone, people, there's still comedians who are still angry about it. Comedians years later. And I'm like, I don't know what other tweet you can remember years later. No regrets is my point. I loved it.
So
yeah, that cancel culture thing's weird because I think people are arguing on different definitions of words. So when they say Nazi, you know, or fascist or cancel, it's like people don't match up or hurtful. And it's all because like you're talking about one definition, someone else is talking about another. So you're not really talking, you know. My dad is a Holocaust survivor. So if you ask him what a Nazi is, it's different than these, you know, Gen Z kids who just means it's someone who's rude, you know. Goat used to mean one person.
Yeah.
And you know, there's like hundreds of goats in every industry, you know? So it's like, oh, you're talking about a different definition of something. So you're not really communicating. So cancel to some people means slight setbacks. To others, it means you can never work again. Well, it's like, well, no one's never working again.
Well, virtue mourning is the same thing. You can't be this sad over every random celebrity that dies.
God, like, I understand. You're just trying to show that you're big. Shut up.
Exactly.
Making it about yourself. It's so lame. It's so lame. And when comedians do it, it's so unfunny. Oh, I'll miss you. Oh, I'm like, ugh, you're a comic. Make a joke. Make a joke. At least try. At least try to make a joke. Shut up.
Yep. Do you consider Jordan the best basketball player of all time?
I hate the term best. I think if you're going to have that argument, you got to start and end with Cliff Robinson. He was the only guy that really normalized the headband. He wasn't making a big deal of it.
And I think he's the first former NBA player to get into the weed game too, the legal weed game like 10
really?
Years ago. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I interviewed him. I want to say it was in Oregon maybe, but I interviewed him. It was less than a decade ago. It was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but I interviewed him about it. It was a really interesting conversation. He was a dude that had a very level-headed perspective on things.
I don't know anyone who even would know the reference Cliff Robinson besides you.
Trey. Kidding me?
It's awesome.
Blazers great from back in the 90s and 2000s.
100%. Unhailed it. What was those hustle points? He was like a hustle points leader. All of that goes to like the best is like, I don't know. I heard Bird talking about this recently. Like you just can't even say it. It's different times, different. As great as Babe Ruth is, he didn't have a training regimen. He wouldn't be able to compete today. So you have to go by, you know, their game. I mean, today's NBA is, there's no defense anymore. So even 5 years ago, NBA, it's a different game.
Basketball is a shell of itself from when you and I were really growing up in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. And unfortunately, it's a result of what they did with drafting high school guys and eventually the one and done system where you ruined your developmental program. That's one of the reasons why the NFL is so good is because college football, while it's an exciting product on its own, also serves as a springboard for the NFL to where fans know who these guys are when they turn professional. The NBA and college basketball especially are just complete mishmashes now, especially in college where there's so much player movement that you're having to relearn a half to three-fourths of your roster every year. And the NBA, unfortunately, suffers too because they've fallen too in love with analytics, so it's all threes and layups and dunks now.
Remember when it was – and also this is why the European players are lapping us because they work on fundamentals every day.
Absolutely.
And we just showboat every day because we'll get a contract, you know, a shoe contract.
Yeah, the hero game that's really emphasized at the AAU level.
Yeah, and it happens in stand-up too. Everyone's trying to create these crowd work clips and you go see them and you're like, oh, these aren't that good. I'm like, oh yeah, I was showing you a highlight reel before. Yeah. This isn't like every you're at a one out of 10 pace. But it's also like, you remember this, when if your team won and scored over 100 points, you got a free sandwich from Chick-fil-A or something.
Yeah.
And now it's like 138 to 127 is pretty standard. And you were cheering, come on, get a few more points, because it's tough to get 100. Not anymore. And the other team knew it. They'd see it. They're like, we're down 15, but like, let's hold these guys. Screw this fan base. Let's hold them. Let's not give them a taco. And it was like something to play for. It was fun. Now you get 100 in the third quarter.
Yeah, it's like 150 is that number now. And at some point, it turns into an all-star game.
Exactly.
So you're going to be doing the Wrong Side of History tour at the Paramount on April 20th then, correct?
Yeah, that you pretty much saw that hour. It's like my last like run before I tape.
Are you doing anything specific to 420, considering the unofficial holiday?
Yeah, grinders for sale. I'll just have a low attention span in my audience, I assume. I'll be a little raspier voice. That's about it.
Yeah, they're probably already going to come in pretty blazed, regardless of whether it's April 20th or not, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Ari, I really appreciate the time today, man. I'm a longtime fan. You and I spoke on one other occasion. It's a real pleasure getting to talk again. And I am not going to be at the show, unfortunately, on Saturday. I did not act fast enough to get the tickets that I like to sit in for the Paramount. But
you'll come to the next one.
I'll get to the next one. No question about that. He is Ari Shaffir. Check him out at Moon Tower Comedy Festival. He's going to be at the Paramount doing one of the 420 shows at the Paramount. Go to austintheater.org to snag the tickets that remain. Ari, thank you so much for the time today, man. Best of luck with things.
Yeah, nice seeing you always. I love that book you have that you never read behind you. That's great.
I've read a few of the stories.
Okay.
All right, that is it for another week's worth of Sports Day Plus. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday at 6. In the meantime, have yourselves a great weekend and hook 'em.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Ellen.